It's Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in on this Monday afternoon. A lot of text today. Here's one. What's going on with Steve? He has been getting really rude to his callers and starting to sound like a jerk, turning away from WGN on the ride home from work. Well, I'm sorry about that, but with any luck, I'll still be here when you come back. Hey, Terry Savage is on the phone line now to talk about your money. Hello, Terry. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. Terry, how are you?
And I am fine, and you are never rude. That's the one word I would never apply to you.
Well, I'm not rude to you because I'm afraid of you for the most part, Terry.
I love it.
So the Democrats in the House have come out with their tax plan to pay for this human infrastructure bill, $3.5 trillion bill. It would increase the, what do I have it here? It would, the tax rate, the top tax rate would go to 39.6%. The corporate tax rate would go to 26.5%.
Stop for a second, because we don't really know if that's what's going to be the final proposal. They're talking about all these things because there are Democrats that also are concerned about some of these tax hikes. So it's not just that the Republicans. So they're doing all kinds of, it's like they're throwing stuff up in the air. Like, if you're really rich and you have like over $10 million in your IRA or 401k, we're going to make you take it out and pay your taxes on it. If you are really rich, you can't do Roth conversions. I hesitate to even talk about some of the things that are being proposed because they're just that. But the capital gains tax is one. The step up in basis at death, which says, okay, you bought your 1,000 shares of Amazon 10 years ago and you're going to leave it, and it was like $50,000. You can leave it $1 million to your kids. Nope, they're going to have to pay taxes right now.
Wait a second. That's not the case, though. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up. Frankly, and you know, you and I have differed on that. I think that should be taxable.
No, what I'm saying, whatever you think about it, what I'm saying is these are some of the things that are being tossed around, along with there are a bunch of Democrat state senators that say, or representatives as well, that say, we got to do away with this $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions, SALT. Now, we've sort of done that for people who have limited partnerships in Illinois and a bunch of other states. So what I'm trying to say is I think what's going on in the markets, the tomorrow we'll have inflation numbers. That should bother the markets. But I think what's really bothering the markets is the uncertainty over these many proposals, which we aren't going to detail now because we don't know where they'll finally make their deal.
Now, wait, I don't know where they're going to finally make their deal, but there is something that happened of significance today that we've talked about quite a bit, so I want to make sure we mention this. And they have decided, the House plan anyway, varies from the president's plan, in that they will drop that repeal of the tax provision for inheritance, that the family farmers who were worried about losing their farm because all that tax would be owed have been given a reprieve, at least under the House plan, that has been dropped from it. So we talked to Senator Durbin not too long ago, and he kind of hinted he thought there would be an exemption for farmers, but it looks like the House plan has dropped it altogether. You're right, at least for now. We'll see where it ends up.
Exactly. So, but the basic point is, a lot markets do not like uncertainty, and they've got, if they're going to pass $3.5 trillion, and if they're going to pay for it, which the Democrats probably can't pass it without Manchin, who insists that these things be paid for, but who's also pretty sensible about taxes. It means that for the next few weeks, there's going to be a lot of horse trading in Congress. Dan Rostenkowski, where are you when we need you? Senator Durbin is a great senator, of course, but in the House, there's going to be a lot of back and forth. So basically, we don't know. We don't know about capital gains. We don't know about all kinds of things.
It's funny.
That's impacting the market.
You bring up Dan Rostenkowski. I had the author of the book called The Quiet Zone not too long ago, and it's about an area in West Virginia where they do study radio frequencies from outer space. But anyway, they talked about the fact that Robert Byrd, who was the king of pork when he was senator of West Virginia, got all these facilities, all this money spent in West Virginia. And here we are now where the current West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is sitting in the catbird seat, and he probably will get a few more space labs or whatever it is he wants in his state of West Virginia in order for his vote. Okay, Terry Savage is on a phone line. We've got a couple of calls, some lines open. 312-981 is the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls and texts coming up. But first, here's Mary with a look at the weather and traffic. It's Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Terry Savage joins us now, as she does typically on Tuesday, but she couldn't wait this week. She wanted it so bad that she's talking to us on Monday. I understand, Terry. I get it. Here's a text. Please ask Terry if U.S. government treasury bonds are safe to invest in without losing any principal rather than CDs. Thanks for any help.
Okay, that depends on now how you are going to define bonds, because the true definition of a treasury bond is a maturity of 10 years or longer. And if you lock your money up today at 2% on a 10-year treasury, I know you're going to be sorry, because I'm sure sometime over the next decade, I'm sure of this, rates will rise. And then if you want to sell that $1,000 bond, nobody wants to buy it with only a 2% yield when new borrowings carry 6 or 7%. So your treasury bond will lose value if you're forced to sell it. Otherwise, you're stuck with a low rate. But treasury bills have maturities of less than a year. They're 3 months, 6 months, or a year. Those are IOUs. You buy them at treasurydirect.gov. And of $100 minimum, actually, you do it online. And the interest is not subject to state income tax. And if the banks are getting, and they are, I mean, they don't want to pay you any interest. They don't have to pay you any interest. They've got plenty of money. They don't need to attract your deposits. So you get almost no interest. Then treasury bills, shorter maturities, are a perfect substitute.
What kind of interest?
Again, at treasurydirect.gov. Well, they're still the very same low interest rate, but you don't pay state income taxes on them. And those mature, you know, you can set those up so that if you buy 3 month treasuries, which pay like next to nothing also, you can have them automatically roll over or mature at whatever the going rate is in 3 months or 6 months, like you do with the CD. And then they send you your interest check up front. A pittance, as it is. So they will keep up if rates do start to rise.
Terry Savage. Check out her columns at terrysavage.com. Rhonda is on the phone. Terry, excuse me. I think she wants my address. She's going to send me a check. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. I just want to tell you that I love you both. And Terry, I have been hanging on your every word since you and I were both much younger.
I've been wording it a lot. Right.
Well, it's true. I'm 65 years old. I live comfortably. I have a pension. I have savings. I have money that's invested in Fidelity that was through my employer. And I have just been given a gift. And the gift is, it seems that the gift will be $40,000 a year for an undetermined period of time. And I honestly don't know what to do with the money. I just don't want to put it in my savings account, as we talk about the pittance it pays. What should I do with this?
I'm dying to ask who's giving you, $40,000 a year.
That would be rude. Rhonda, who's giving you the money?
You can ask too.
I'm happy to tell you that it was, I was given a gift of a portion of real estate, which the gift was originally a mortgage, interestingly enough, from my dad. And the mortgage has been paid. And so I'm now receiving the money.
I love it. Okay, well, that's wonderful. That's such a nice story, because I get so many posts on my blog, you know, of people in pain. So this is a perfect moment. I can think of five things, but I don't know enough about you. That's why I wrote The Savage Truth on Money. And you can get that online for $10 so that you can spend a little of it. But what I really, for instance, you're at the perfect age. I need to ask five questions and I'll tell you how to get a financial planner. But did you say you're married?
I'm not.
And you have children or dependents?
Nope.
Okay. So here are five things you should do in an umbrella on how to do it. First of all, this is a perfect time, now that you have an income stream, to get a financial planner. And if you go online to wealthramp.com or terrysavage.com, there's in the top right, find a trusted financial planner. You'll find a fiduciary planner. But among the things they might tell you to do is you can still invest some of that money in the market. If you have the self-discipline, and a conservative equity income fund might be good for some of that. Number two, I don't know if you want to leave money to anybody, but you could buy a long-term care insurance policy with that money. And that way you would know that you would never run out of money, even if you have the kind of experience of being alone and needing home care, so you're not forced into, you know, that money runs out very quickly and you're forced into a nursing facility that you don't choose. So women, I always think of long-term care insurance. You probably haven't made a will or an estate plan, have you, in a long time?
I've not.
Okay. So what you need is a fiduciary, fee-only financial planner. And they are trained to ask all the questions I want to ask you, but I don't want to embarrass you, and to set you up with all the things that you really could be doing with this money so that now you're real happy and you're obviously sound so self-sufficient that you can make sure that every single day for the rest of your life is the same kind of feeling of independence and self-sufficiency. So wealthramp.com, or there's a link, how to find a financial planner, explains why I believe in WealthRamp. I get nothing out of this, but it's a great fee-only fiduciary matching service.
Rhonda, I'm glad you called. What a great problem to have.
Thank you very much.
You bet. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Rob's on the line. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Hello, Terry, and fellow New Cheer East grad calling here. My question to you is, do you think that Congress is going to change the laws regarding inheritance? If someone dies this year and they say the beneficiaries, the children or whatever, inherit stocks, do you think that the government's going to change the cost basis of that stock, which is going to increase the taxes potentially for the children?
I think that's 50-50 right now, and that's up, that's down from 80-20. I was sure they were going to do that. Now, Steve gets all worried about this because he hasn't owned anything long. Wait, stop, Steve, for one second. He hasn't owned anything long enough to have a real low cost basis. As I started to say earlier, if you bought Amazon 15 years ago, when I did, because I thought, oh my God, they sell more than books. You know, I wish I'd bought 10 times as much, of course. But the point is, I don't know what the cost was, maybe 40 or 50,000. I don't know when I'm going to die, but maybe it's worth 300,000 at that point. If I leave that to my family, their new cost basis is the value on the date of death under the current law. So if they go sell it, they don't have any taxes to pay. If they hold it for another 5 years and it becomes worth $500,000, their cost basis was the price when it was $300,000, and then they pay taxes. That's being discussed as we speak. At first, I thought for sure they'd do away with it, and now I'm not so sure, so we'll have to see.
It's not in the new house plan, Rob, so we'll see what comes out of it. But I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
In my defense, Terry.
Yes.
It's not just because I don't have that asset to hand down to my children. First, they'd have to earn it.
And you spend it all on their college.
Exactly. But here's my point about it. And, you know, we keep repeating ourselves. But I feel like the people inheriting the tax should pay the same rate of on capital gains than I would if I died or if I cashed it in myself that day. I don't understand why. Because I died, all of that taxable income sort of vanishes and goes to families tax-free. That's just the point.
Well, want to encourage short-term trading. You raise the capital gains tax, so there's no basic benefit to holding investments for a long term. You tax it at death, even though nobody wanted to sell it, like a family farm,
the family farms are
obvious.
Different. Yeah, the family farms are an issue, but
disagree.
It's not taxing it at death. It's the tax that would be owned had I lived, so why should
paid taxes to get the after-tax dollars to buy the stock.
But if you, so it's your $300,000.
What would be my incentive to invest for the long term, grow and build America?
But if you were to sell those, if you were to sell those $300,000 in Amazon stocks yourself as you live, you'd pay the tax on the tax basis from when you purchased it. So I just think if you inherit it, you should use the same tax basis. We're out of time. As someone said earlier, I always say that when I disagree with people, but it's not true.
No, you get the last word. Well, right. No, the last word will come from Congress.
We'll see about that. We'll talk again next week, Terry.
Thanks.
Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.